Appreciate the Lord this evening. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with us, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6 this evening. Matthew 6. I'd like to read, starting in verse number 19 tonight. We'll stand, honor the reading of the Word of God. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts that I've got written down tonight. Matthew 6 and verse number 19. If you're glad you're saved tonight, say amen. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Thank you for standing tonight, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you and we thank you tonight. Lord, how good you've been to us today. We want to thank you. Lord, we want to remember to pray for our nation, our state. We want to pray for all of our preacher friends tonight that are standing behind this old sacred desk. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the mansion that you have prepared for me. I'm grateful. I thank you for the grace of God that passes all understanding tonight. Lord, we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you to help me tonight. And amen. And amen. I'm interested in this word, your sales. Your sales. Now, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Tonight, this thought about yourselves. He's written some text in the Bible that deals with this phrase, yourselves. And here he's teaching us to not trust ourselves, but to invest ourselves. I'm glad we're invested in the local church tonight. Matter of fact, you'll notice that God is very involved in the investments in the local church. We come together as the blood-washed band people of God tonight. And so the Lord tells us, He says, let me tell you where to put your investments at. You lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I'm glad there's a few that sent on before me tonight. Boy, when your 401ks crash out and the bankers go bad and the market strategists all forget what to do, I'm glad there's a God that has all of our investments in safekeeping that we've given unto Him. So here it is, invest yourselves. But then in Mark 6 and 30, I was pondering on this evening. And there Jesus teaches us to rest yourselves. Rest yourselves. You know, there's a lot of chaos going on in our lives and in our country. But Jesus tells us something in Mark 6 and verse number 30. It'd do you good to underline this and remember, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. You know, rest is very important in our lives. There's so much breakdowns, not only because of stress, but because the lack of rest. There must come a time in our lives when we disconnect from this old world. Young families, we've never lived in a culture that is more fast-paced than what 2019 is. I mean, it is harum-scarum. It's running as fast as you can go from daylight to dark and still don't get it done. But there must come a time in our life when we disconnect from the things that keep us so busy and realize who Christ is, and we must rest ourselves in the Lord. Now, isn't it amazing? These apostles were so busy giving out. Jesus thought it was so important that they come apart and rest. Can I tell you that it's not wrong to rest some? I love to try to watch the congregation. And I love to see when people are excited and people want to be here and they want the Word of God. And we must realize that we must rest ourselves. So we come to the house of God. It's not a resting place, but it's a eating place. Amen. And so we must realize that Jesus wants us to rest in the Lord, to sharpen our pencil, so to speak. If you just keep going the way you're going, you're going to be frazzled to the end. You know, if you burn yourself out, you're not going to be good for anybody else. And so we must realize tonight there are times in our life where Jesus says, rest yourselves. And then He says something in Mark 9 and verse number 50. Not only about invest for yourselves and rest for yourselves, but He talks about for us to salt ourselves. Mark 9 and verse number 50. Salt is good. I went to the doctor last Friday. Man, I was sort of dreading what the results was going to be. He come in and he said, "Preacher, man, you're in great shape. What are you doing?" I said, "I'm eating a whole lot of pork every chance I get." But salt is good. Look what Jesus says. Salt is good. Salt ourselves. Then He says this, "But if the salt hath lost its savor," or its saltiness, "wherewith will you season it? Have salt," here it is, here's our phrase, "have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." Jesus teaches us something in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Colossians 4 and verse number 6. And I want you to see this about season with salt. Mark 6, or Colossians 4, verse number 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Read that again. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." We need salt in our lives. We need salt in our community. If we have lost our saltiness, then we are non-effectual. We must guard. We must safeguard our testimonies and our lives for the cause of Christ. Your children need salt at the table. Amen. They need salt at bedtime. They need salt at breakfast. When they come in from school, they need salt. What is that? It's seasoned of life. Stand on what you believe. Believe what you believe. And have some salt about you. You know, salt, sometimes when you put it in a wound, it stings. But salt preserves. I hear people, and I want to make this statement tonight. I'm not against Christian school at all. But I want to give you this thought. if every Christian in this country pulled their kids out of public school, where would be the salt? Where would be the light? You young children, be salt in your school. Be light in your school. Our world is getting corrupt and pretty much putrid because of lack of salt. We need to have salt in our life. Salt in our home. Salt in our church. Not only does it sting, but salt preserves. I can remember as a young boy, my grandpa would kill about 6 hogs a year. We would go in the smokehouse and he would lay them old hams on a salt box. Brother Mike, Brother Lee, he'd reach down that salt and he would rub that salt in the joints of that green ham. Then he'd put it in that box. He'd rub it down, he'd pour salt over it, and according to the weather, he'd let it sit there about 4 to 6 weeks. Man, you talking about something good as a little old boy. He'd get them salty hams out of that box. He'd take borax and wash it off. Then he'd get an old paper bag and put that ham in it. Put a wire through the shank. Hang it up in the smokehouse and let it cure. Then about July or August, he'd go out there with a butcher knife and a pan. He'd go to cutting that old salt-cured country ham off. You didn't have to salt it. It was done in it. Can I tell you tonight, we need to get back to some salty living and realizing God has been good to us and there's nothing like our Savior. I'm glad He saved us and I'm glad one day He's soon to come back for us. Oh, we need that saltiness back in our life and in our homes. It doesn't mean being mean to nobody. It doesn't mean being judging or critical to nobody. It simply means living by the Bible, loving people, and being good. And boy, letting our speech always be seasoned with grace. You know, that would make a great message on the home. That would make a great message in the schools. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So he says, salt yourselves. Then in Luke 21 and 34, he tells us another phrase in Luke 21 and 34. I wish you'd underline this in your Bible. Luke 21 and 34. Dealing with this little phrase, yourselves. Luke 21, 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, he says in verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, be overweighted, be overloaded with surfeiting. That simply word means feeding to excess. Taking too much in of this old world. And here this evening when we see this taking heed to ourselves, it means simply absorbed by business. Christ wants us to be free from oppressions. My goodness, you'll see this. Don't be overcharged in access and drunkenness and cares of this life. Be free from oppression. I've never seen so many of God's people being overloaded with the cares of this life and oppression. And can I tell you, that's not of God tonight. That is of the devil that'll keep you busy worrying and worrying and worrying. There's a God in heaven that sees about all of His children. Yes, we're to plan. Yes, we're to provide. Yes, we are to think about a few things for tomorrow. But honey, when it keeps us up all night, we need to learn to turn our bed, turn it back, and get on the floor and say, "Dear God, You're bigger than any problem I've got. God, You're better than anything that's ever happened to me, and I'm trusting You with the cares of this life." Jesus wants us to take heed to ourselves. This also has to do overcharged with surfeiting. This word has to do with pomp, pride, and luxuries. Being enslaved to money, being enslaved to things. Young families, watch your lifestyle. Watch, be sure that you don't become a slave to things that God never intended to own you. Tonight He says, take heed to yourselves. And then there's another phrase I'm interested in John 6. I want you to look at verse 35. Jesus said something that really did tear the nerves up to a lot of people. And I want to see what He says in response. John 6, 35. John 6 and 35. I want to say something about those cares. We all have traits. We have generic traits, no doubt. Many of us act like our ancestors. I can tell you who we all act like. It goes all the way back to the garden, to Adam. But I had a mother, Brother Lee, that worried herself to death. Boy, I've got them traits just to be a worry wart. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder, but sometimes Jesus wants me to leave them cares, not let them overtake me, and realize that He's bigger than anything that ever happened in my life. I trust Jesus. You hear me tonight? If you live for Jesus, you ought to trust Jesus. He's a big God, and He can do anything tonight. Now, He says something that disturbs some people. John 6 and 43. He makes a statement. Now I want you to look in 35 what He said. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me." They said, "Come down from heaven. This is the Father's will which has sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And the Jews then murmured. They murmured at Him, because He said, "I'm the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, here's our phrase, "Murmur not among yourselves." You know what that word means? It means to simply to grumble. To grumble and to disagree at what God has said. If we're not careful in our life, we'll find ourselves grumbling between one another. And my goodness, God has been so good to us. Why would we ever grumble? There's things in this life that has happened to me that I don't agree with, and I would not have set it in my path. But I'm trusting the God in heaven that He knows best for me. And God is in control of everything. I'm glad I'm not in control of it. But God's in control of it. And so He says, don't complain or don't murmur among yourselves. Then Romans 6 and 11 is another phrase here that Paul is teaching in Romans 6. Verse number 11. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon. That word means to calculate. So likewise, reckon or calculate ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now he says, reckon ye yourselves. I heard a fella, he went to heaven 2 weeks ago. He is one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. He was old school. He'd give you great content. He was just a blessing preaching. He got cancer. And he died probably in his upper 70s a couple of weeks ago. And he went out and met God. And one of the last CDs I've got of him, this is what he said to an audience. He said, the older that I've gotten with the Lord, I have realized. Now listen, hear me out and don't cut me off because I'll clarify the statement. He said, I've noticed that it's hard to walk around in this world and not sin a little. Then this is what he said. But where Jesus told us to reckon ourselves, we can't keep the pigeons from flying over our head. But we can keep them from roosting in our hair. And tonight, it's hard for me and you to leave here and go to Carrollton, Georgia and come back and not be confronted with sin because we're human. But aren't you glad Jesus said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's nobody here can walk in this world all week in sinless perfection. Nobody. You'll have a bad thought. You'll have a bad action. Boy, aren't you glad it's the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me tell you, the only reason any of us are going to heaven tonight is because of God's Son that lives in us tonight. And I sure am glad that I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Now look what he says. Calculate or reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves. Not only reckon yourselves, but now Paul says, yield yourselves. You know what that means? It means to give God the right of way. Boy, when this old bad man lives in this suit, when he's tempted of sin, I've got an option. Am I going to yield to God and the teachings of the Scripture, or am I going to yield to that old man? And that's in all of us tonight. I remember a man come sit, kneel down by where I sat one morning. I want to say this to try to help you tonight. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm just saying everybody here is a sinner. He came and he said, preacher, I need to ask you a personal question. I said, okay. And he looked around. He said, I even hate to ask you, preacher. I said, hey, buddy, You can tell me anything what's on your heart. Hey, just talk to me. He said, all right. He said, I got saved. And I used to drink years ago. just because I still want to drink, does that mean I'm lost? I said, no, it means you got an old nature in you, and now you got to yield to God. Amen. And so, I'm thankful that God is greater. And so He tells us to yield our members. He said, well, preacher, there's a preacher told me that if I still wanted that thing at times that I used to do, I wouldn't say, that's not right. When God saved us, He didn't take that old nature out of us. You know what that old nature in me is? It's to swing back, for I know it. I was raised, I didn't understand to take down and let somebody pop you on the jaws and turn the other side too. That's not in my nature. I've got to yield myself to the teachings of the Scripture. Now, I ain't going to lay down and let somebody act crazy. Say amen. But you know what I'm saying? There's things in us that we've got to realize that will taunt us and tempt us all of our lives. And we must be so disciplined to yield unto God and ask Him to help us in these vices that come in our life. We're all human. Don't you never say, I won't do that. I was with a preacher this week and he said something about jealousy. He said, listen, I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I said, hush, boy, don't say that too loud. The devil will hear and you'll be so jealous by Friday. So, we got to realize this Bible here is to help us, not to hurt us. So yield yourselves. And He says, reckon yourselves. Then He says, separate yourselves. 1 Corinthians 5 and 11. 1 Corinthians 5 and 11. Not only reckon yourselves and yield yourselves, but now the Bible teaches us to separate ourselves. Now, this is where a lot of independent churches, and in my opinion, pastors have taught their people that is wrong. That you totally withdraw, and you don't go no place, you don't be nothing, you come back to Sunday night, you be a jack in the box. That ain't what Paul's writing here. I want you to look and see what Paul... We're to be salt in this world. We're to be light in this world. People pumping gas don't need you to look down at them. They need you to tell them about the love of Christ. People in Walmart acting crazy. They don't need you to tell them how crazy they are, in spite of several are. We're to be salt and light. Now look what Paul's saying, but now I've written unto you, not the world, but unto you the church, not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or idolater, or a railer. Matter of fact, that word railer means to utter bitter complaint that's just always negative, that's just always slamming you about everything. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, was such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. Young people, this is what I believe with all my heart. There's anybody here can make mistakes, including your preacher. But where you're going to mess up with your children is just to turn them loose with the world. And whatever they're doing, when you think it's okay for your children to run with that, your children's going to get in big trouble. Mom and daddies, when you run around with people like this Bible is describing, an open, sinful lifestyle, you're going to get in trouble. And here Paul is teaching explicitly to the people that are saved. He says, you ought to be salt and you not, You're not to accept that kind of lifestyle. Drunkards. You know what that means? Field to access. A lot of you believe you can do a little social drinking. I myself believe you ought to abstain from all alcohol of every aspect of life. It leads to a dead end road. Social drinking will lead you to be a drunkard. And so, I want to say something. This Bible tells us to separate ourselves, to have stamina. I ain't going over there. If I go there, I'm going to get in trouble. There's a testimony in the local church that we must adhere to in our lives personally. There's nobody here that has not sinned. But this Bible's telling me if I've got an open lifestyle and a member of the blood-washed band, you are to disconnect yourself from me. I'm talking about a lifestyle, not a mistake. Y'all understand me tonight? I say, well, I'm saved. Now I get locked up four times for drinking. Well, I become a drunk. This Bible tells me we're not to associate with that person. Do you hear me tonight? Because you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And it brings reproach upon the body of Christ. Tonight, separate yourselves. Now, I want to ask y'all this. Do you really think that your children can run around with a crowd like that and they not affect your children? Watch where your children are. Watch where they go. Watch who they hang out with. I had one of the best mom and daddies in the country. You know what they've done to me? They turned me loose at about 13 years old. Well, you know where I wound up? Not in church. I got with the wrong crowd of boys. And you know what young boys do with older boys? They try to be like the older boys. I know some of y'all thinking, well, preacher, you're just too old-fashioned. I'm just preaching to you the Bible tonight. Sin is still sin. We're not to look down on nobody. And this is where independent Baptists have got. They think that they're too good for this to ever happen to them. Let me tell you something. You better not trust yourself far as you can throw yourself. Separate yourselves. Be salt and light. Now, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves. Look over. Look into. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest. And though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. and amen. Examine yourself. We don't have to examine nobody else. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. I don't know if they're saved. Well, do you know if you're saved? The only one, I've got a good idea of several in here saved, but the only one I know that's saved is me. And I can't judge nobody. Where we get in trouble is when we go to judging people. Well, if they're saved, they wouldn't do that. Well, let me ask you something. If you're saved, how can you do some things you do? Examine yourselves. You know, I believe this, and I've learned this through principle. I've learned this through practice that I want to say to our church tonight. This Bible is still right. I get in trouble when I don't live by this Bible. I'm not to judge nobody. And the reason our independent churches are dying is because they've got so critical to others. About the time you say something about somebody else, what about what's going on in your life and in your mind and in your heart? See, I'm in charge of this church, the ministry of who preaches, but let me tell you who I'm in charge of personally is myself. I can't play God to none of y'all. Lord, I got enough to keep me busy all week. I'll get back here Wednesday night, just what's in this navy suit tonight. Why would I want to spend time trying to straighten you out when this old man keeps me pretty busy every day? I mean, ain't it amazing what's in us to just flare up? Somebody pull out in front of you going to church. Before you know it, you're rolling your window down, shaking your fist out. Before you know it, it's in us tonight. We've got to take this Bible and yield ourselves and realize this old man's bad, but the new man that lives in us by Christ, greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. And I'm glad that God is greater than the devil tonight. So may we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, love one another, pray one for another, and have salt about us, and not look down on the people of the outside pumping gas, but help them and tell them about Jesus. Invite them to church. You know, I commend you tonight for being friendly to people. Some of the guests that we come here that you've never seen, one of the greatest compliments that they give to you people, your people there are friendly. They welcome us. Well, you ought to. You ought to say, how you doing? Glad you're here this morning. Let me go and brush this up while I'm pastoring. When others come and pray, you ought to come pray with them sometime. We ought to use our altars, keep our own self cleaned up, that we can help others. Lord, help us tonight to be what You want us to be in our lives. Well, I'm glad I'm saved this evening. I appreciate the good day that we've had. I ask you to remember our Wednesday night service. I ask you to pray for the teachers this week.